everyone, I hope you're all doing so well and welcome back to the Criminal Makeup Podcast. Each episode we dive into the minds of some of the worst criminals in history, and this has to be one of the worst cases of child neglect I've ever come across. Like, oh my God.
Details now on the House of Schwaller in Blackstone, Massachusetts. It's been several weeks since police found the remains of three infants.
Many unanswered questions as the horrific child neglect case in Blackstone unfolds. New focus on who knew what.
We found out back in August that the three-year-old and six-month-old children living upstairs were his.
I was crushed that she would do that.
Today's case was one of those cases that when I was researching it, I had to keep taking breaks because it was just too much. And I just kept getting so angry and so worked up that I had to just like keep walking away and like gather myself. It's going to be a lot. And the mother that is at the center of this case gave birth to multiple babies in secret. And she raised these babies in a locked room, hidden from the world. And they were kept in the most disgusting, inhumane, filthy conditions that you have ever come across. It is truly unbelievable some of the things that happen in today's case. And the mother was Erica Murray. She definitely has to be up there with one of the people I most dislike that we have covered on this channel. Because what Erica did to her own children and to animals, yes, animals as well, makes my blood boil. But I think what adds to my anger when it comes to today's case is the complete injustice of it all. So that is what we are going to be unfortunately talking about today. So let's jump in. Erica Murray was born in 1983. I couldn't find an exact birth date for her, but from my research, I figured out that she was born in either June or early July, which makes her either a Gemini or a Cancer. And growing up, Erica had a very normal, happy childhood. She was described as a happy-go-lucky child. She lived in Northbridge, Massachusetts, with her mom, Sharon, her dad, Kevin, and then her two brothers. Erica really got on with her brothers. They had a really close bond. They would always play together. She loved playing hide-and-seek with her brothers and baseball. They would always be out in the garden playing in their outdoor pool. Her dad was a mechanic, and he was just like a real handyman. He was always doing like DIY projects around the house. And her mom stayed at home most of the time, and she worked on like a lot of arts and crafts, and I think she sold that as well. The family went on a lot of vacations every single year. They also had a lot to do with their neighborhood. There would always be like street parties or barbecues, and the family have just been described as very middle class. Erica did well in school. She had a real good group of friends. And Erica, she had her passions and her hobbies as a teenager, one of them being her nails and makeup and hair, and she took pride in her appearance. She loved getting herself all dolled up. She absolutely loved clothes and fashion. She was very artistic. And from my research, it was a very happy, normal childhood. She was really close with her family. The only thing that really came up in her childhood is that Erica started to display strong signs of fear of abandonment. She was just a child growing up that was always worried that people would abandon her, that her friends would ditch her and leave her. Her family would turn their back on her. And I don't know why she felt like that. I mean, obviously that has to stem from somewhere, but I couldn't find where it possibly stemmed from. But this is actually a pretty big deal for this case. This would actually come up very significantly later on. So later in Erica's teenage years, when she was 16, Erica got her first job and she went to work at her local McDonald's. And within no time at all, she started to receive a lot of attention from an older male colleague, a man named Raymond Rivera III. And like I said, Raymond was an older male colleague. So Erica was just 16 years old and Raymond was 23, which, I'm sorry, what do you want with a 16-year-old when you are 23? And he was just really creepy. He would not leave her alone. And she is a child and he is a grown-ass man. It is just wrong on so many levels. And it is an abuse of power. And side note, I couldn't help but remember that recently in the UK, there was actually a story that broke about the toxic culture in McDonald's. And I can't remember how long ago it was that the story broke. I think it was only a couple of months ago now. But I remember it was all over the news where teenage workers were being groped and sexually harassed by older colleagues. And this was happening on a regular basis. And when I was doing my research for this case and that came up, I was like, oh my God, is this just a thing in McDonald's? Or is it like this in a lot of fast food stores. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, Raymond, he is pursuing Erica and they soon start a relationship. And then a year later, when Erica is 17, she falls pregnant. And she was absolutely terrified about what her parents might say. And Erica decided to hide this pregnancy from her parents and from pretty much everyone. She was avoiding the problem. She basically just buried her head in the sand. She didn't want to address the problem, nothing. And this whole hiding the pregnancy definitely becomes a pattern. However, Erica did tell a few people that she was pregnant, one of them being a very close friend. So one day, Erica's close friend went over to Erica's home and the friend said to Erica's mom, "Hi, Grandma." And that is how Erica's mom and the rest of Erica's family found out that Erica was pregnant. And oh my God, I bet she had the shock of her life. But her parents were really supportive. They wanted to be there for her. However, Erica still did hide the pregnancy from the majority of the people that she knew. She didn't want anyone at school to know because you have to remember she's only 17. She's still in school. And she didn't want to attend her high school graduation because she was pregnant and everyone would find out. However, she in the end did attend her graduation. She was convinced by a friend to eventually go. And Erica, not too long after, gave birth to a baby girl that she called Kayla. And like I said, her parents were really supportive and they actually said that Raymond could move in with their family. So they wanted to offer Raymond a place to stay. So this new little family, they could be together as a family unit. And Erica's parents, they were incredibly supportive, both physically, emotionally, and financially. Her parents would go out and do the grocery shopping. They would do all the chores. They would help look after the baby. I imagine that they were probably concerned about the age difference between Raymond and Erica, but they kind of just put that to the side because they knew that they had to raise this baby. And things went on like this for 2 years. Raymond, Erica, and baby Kayla are living with Erica's parents and everything is great. And Erica's parents, they didn't mind at all that Erica, Raymond, and Kayla were living under their roof. They only had one condition, and that is that Erica didn't have any more children because she couldn't afford it. She was still so young. There was plenty of time to have more children if she wanted to. But did Erica and Raymond stick to this? No. Because when Erica is 20 years old, she falls pregnant again. And this is where things really start to go downhill. Erica gave birth to a baby boy who she called Nicholas. And I'm not quite sure what happened, but Erica, Raymond, Kayla, and now Nicholas, they move into their own home. So I'm not sure if Erica's parents kicked them out or not. I don't know. They moved into Raymond's sister's home, but Raymond's sister wasn't there. So it was just kind of like a vacant home. I think it might have been Raymond's family home that he grew up in. So I don't really know what the situation is with this house. All I know is that they now move into this 3-bed home. And it is located in the town of Blackstone, which is in Massachusetts. And it's actually just on the border of Rhode Island. Like literally, you only have to walk like maybe a minute down the road and you're in Rhode Island. Now, coming from the UK, I just find that so crazy that you're just in a different state. Because like different states have like different laws and everything. And I just find that so weird. Like I went onto Google Maps and somebody's home, like half of their home was in Massachusetts and half of their home was in Rhode Island. And I'm like, where do you live? Do you live in Rhode Island or Massachusetts? Like, it's just bizarre to me. I don't know. Do I sound really stupid right now? So they are living in this house, which is 23 St. Paul Street. And this is a very significant house, which is why I'm telling you the address, because this is where the rest of today's case takes place. This is what basically turns into the House of Horrors. So now they are living on their own. Raymond is currently 28 years old and Erica is currently 21. And it is when they are living alone that Raymond's personality just completely changed. Because Before, he had Erica's parents watching him, keeping a close eye on him. Well, now he didn't have anyone watching his behavior. He could do whatever he wanted. And he turned into a completely controlling and manipulative person. Now that they had moved out of Erica's parents' home, Erica was now completely dependent on Raymond. She'd lost her parents' day-to-day help. She had lost that support in her life. And Raymond started to take complete advantage of this. And Raymond was your typical abuser. He first wanted to completely isolate Erica. He wanted Erica completely to himself so he could control her. He soon convinced her to quit her job because he told her that she had to stay at home and look after the children, which also now meant that Erica was financially dependent on Raymond. He didn't want Erica socializing with friends and family. He said that her friends and family were too much of a distraction. They were taking up too much of her time, and Erica just needed to back off and look after the children. Raymond would always want updates on what she was doing, where she was, who she was possibly with, because she was never allowed to see anybody. So Raymond would always text her, "Where are you? Where are you?" He probably was one of those people that were like, "Send me a picture of the fridge." You know what I mean? Like, "Send me a picture of this to prove that she was at home." I don't have any evidence of that, but I can just imagine it. And Raymond threatened to leave her if she ever went out with her friends and family. And then Raymond started being verbally abusive to Erica. He would call her every single name under the sun. He would humiliate her, dehumanize her. He never physically abused her, but he was such an angry, violent person that Erica always believed that that was going to be the next step. She constantly lived in fear that he was going to be physical with her. And verbal abuse, psychological and emotional abuse is just as bad. And that is what he's doing to Erica. Raymond then also cut off Erica's access to their joint bank account. So Raymond has control over Erica for everything. Every area of her life, Raymond has control over. Till eventually, Erica just kind of gave in. She stopped leaving the house. She also stopped taking care of her appearance. She would rarely have a shower. She only wore baggy clothes. So Erica went from this teenager that loved doing her hair, makeup, nails. She loved fashion and buying like all the latest trendy clothes. To now, she doesn't want to do any of that. And her mental health took a nosedive. And you might be wondering, well, why is Erica sticking around? Especially because she has very supportive parents that would probably take her in a heartbeat. But it's not that easy. It's not that easy to leave an abusive relationship. On top of the fact that Erica also has a fear of abandonment, Erica didn't want Raymond to leave her, and Raymond would constantly threaten Erica with that. If she didn't do exactly as she was told, Raymond would threaten, "Well, I'm going to leave you then," knowing full well that those were almost the magic words to make Erica do whatever he wanted. But Erica, that is how she felt. She wanted to do everything in her power to please him. And don't get me wrong, that is not me trying to make you feel sorry for Erica at all, because like I said in the intro, oh my God, this woman makes my blood boil. But we have to acknowledge that she is in an abusive relationship. There is a power dynamic here. She has been in this abusive relationship since she was 16. However, that does not excuse what she goes on to do. So Raymond has full control over Erica now. And it is now where the truly unbelievable, crazy things start to happen in this case. Because now that Raymond had complete control over Erica, he made one thing very clear to Erica, and that is that he did not want any more children. They couldn't afford it, and he didn't want any, and that he would leave Erica if they were to have another child. However, despite this, the two of them continued on having unprotected sex. Now, what is likely to happen if you have unprotected sex? I wonder. Because it wasn't too long until Erica fell pregnant again. Now, I'm not sure if Raymond was demanding unprotected sex. I wouldn't be surprised if he was, or it was just something that Erica was happy to go along with because she wants to please him, or maybe she was okay with it herself. I just don't know. But Erica falls pregnant. But we know that Raymond doesn't want any more children, and Erica is terrified of him. She doesn't want him to leave her, but he he has threatened that he will leave her if she is pregnant again. But now she finds herself pregnant again, so what is she going to do? Erica decided against an abortion. She also didn't want to give the baby up for adoption. So it's like, okay, so what other option does she have? Well, Erica decided to choose door three, which shouldn't be an option for anybody. And that is to hide the pregnancy, keep the baby, and raise it in secret. You heard that right. Erica was planning on keeping the baby, but just not telling Raymond. Now remember, she hid her first pregnancy. However, she didn't hide her first pregnancy from Raymond. She only hid it from like her friends and family and people that she didn't really see that often. How was she going to hide her pregnancy from Raymond, who she lives with? And the time passes, months go by. Erica continues on wearing very baggy clothes, and Raymond doesn't seem to have noticed that she is pregnant. And the months are going by, and Erica is thinking to herself, oh my God, I can actually get away with this. And Erica as well, she didn't leave the house that much. She didn't see her family, so they obviously didn't suspect that she was pregnant. And she eventually got to full term, and Raymond still didn't know that she was pregnant, which is honestly just crazy. How does she live with Raymond, and how has he not noticed, despite how impossible this seems? I actually knew somebody that did this. I mentioned this before in the case of Megan Huntsman, which is a very similar case to today's case. But yeah, I knew someone that did this. They hid their pregnancy from everyone. I don't actually remember how old they were. I think she was about 17, maybe, when she was pregnant. But she hid her pregnancy from everyone, including the baby's dad. And no one knew that she was pregnant. And she only told people after she gave birth. If I didn't know somebody that did this, I would think that this was impossible. But this girl that I knew, she was living with her parents, and her parents didn't know that she was pregnant. So it is possible. It's probably rare, but it's possible. So Erica is full term, and Erica gave birth to her baby in secret on her own, in her own bathroom at home. She never went to the hospital, no doctors, no nurses, nothing. She just went into her bathroom and gave birth on her own. But now it comes the hard part. How is she going to keep a baby, like a baby, a screaming, crying baby, a secret? Hiding a pregnancy is one thing, but how do you actually hide a baby? And it comes to a point where you might be thinking, well, surely she's going to have to tell someone now. But no, Erica still decides to keep this baby a secret. She placed the baby in an upstairs room that no one ever went in. I think it was like a storage room, so no one really used it. She placed the baby in this room and no one seemed to notice. The days went by, the weeks went by, and Raymond didn't notice that there was a baby in his home. And also you have to remember that Erica and Raymond, they have two other children, and the other children, Kayla and Nicholas, they didn't notice that there was a baby in the home either, which is just insane. How did she do this? Like I said, babies, they cry, they scream, they make noise. How did no one hear this baby? And apparently over time, the two younger children and Raymond started to notice the noise of a baby in their home. But when they questioned Erica about it, Erica just brushed them off and said that she was babysitting for a friend. And I can understand how her two other children bought this lie, because they're children. But how did Raymond buy this lie? He is an adult. How is he so oblivious and naive to what is going on in his house? And I just want to point out that I don't know if I believe that Raymond didn't know, because let's be realistic, he has complete control over everything that Erica does, says, wears, everything. How does he not know that there is a baby in his home? So I don't know if I believe that Raymond didn't know, but we'll just leave that there for now. But anyway, Erica continues to raise this baby in secret in the room upstairs, and her and Raymond still continue to have unprotected sex. So again, it wasn't long until Erica falls pregnant again. And I know what you're probably thinking. There is no way that she can have another secret baby. No way. No way in hell. How can she do it again? But She does. Erica was still scared of Raymond. He still didn't want more children. She was still scared that he would leave her if she got pregnant again. So she hid the pregnancy from Raymond once again. And she went full term. And Raymond didn't have a clue that she was pregnant. And again, she gave birth in her bathroom on her own. And Raymond still didn't know. She then placed the second secret baby in this mysterious room upstairs. It is like she is collecting babies in that room. It is crazy. And she is now raising a second baby in secret. And I have so many questions, and I'm sure you do too. How is she doing this? How old are these children? How does Raymond not know? How is she able to raise two children in a room? Are these children being looked after properly? Are they being fed? Have the children ever even seen a doctor? Have the children ever even left that room? And of course, we will answer all those questions. However, we need to talk about Erica and the kind of mother that she is to her two other children, the two older children, the two children that Raymond knows about. Because whilst Erica is raising these two secret babies, she is also raising two other children in public. And even though nothing about this situation is normal, Erica, to the outside world, was living a completely normal life. Although Erica rarely left the home, she still managed to maintain a very active social life on Facebook. And Erica would post about her two older children on Facebook all of the time. So we're in like the early 2010s at this point. And her two older children are approximately aged 13 and 10. And Erica's Facebook would be filled with her family life. It would be full of home-cooked meals, family outings. Her two older children would be all over her Facebook about their school, about Halloween costumes, the children's birthday parties. The family of four, so Raymond, Erica, Kayla, and Nicholas, they would always go out for family meals, and Erica would post all about this on Facebook. Her two older children, Kayla and Nicholas, they had all the latest clothes. They had all of the latest technology devices. And at this point, Raymond was working for Staples and Erica was making arts and crafts at home. And I think she was selling them as well, which is very similar to what her mom did as a job. But Erica, as we know, she's not allowed a job outside of the house. So that is probably all she was allowed to do. But from the outside looking in, they looked like a happy family of four. Erica looked like a really good mom. She looked like she loved her children and adored them and spent so much time with them. Neighbors also found the family and Erica really friendly. The two children, they had a lot of friends at school. The other parents of the children at their school liked Erica. However, there is nothing normal about this family because they are not a family of four. There are two secret babies being raised in an upstairs bedroom. Raymond is also still abusing Erica. Raymond is also illegally growing weed and selling it from his home. So yes, there is nothing normal about this family. And another reason why this family were able to keep so many secrets is because friends, family, neighbors, they were never allowed to visit. Raymond said that visitors were out of the question. And Erica didn't really have much to do with her family anymore, so they didn't ask any questions. And Erica just kept up with her friends on Facebook. So no one knew what was truly going on in that home. And because of this isolation, Erica carried on living this life with secret babies for 6 years. You heard that right. 6 years. No one found out. The authorities didn't know. Raymond apparently also didn't know. However, that was all about to change. Now get to the shocking and horrific discovery at the center of today's case. So we now get to the 27th of August 2014. And on this day, Erica was going to be out of the house all day, which was obviously rare because she never left the house. But on this particular day, she was going out with her 13-year-old daughter, Kayla, and they were going to be out all day. And Raymond was going to be at work all day. So she needed someone to look after her 10-year-old son, Nicholas, for the day. Erica goes over to one of her neighbors, a woman called Betsy Brown, and asked her if she could look after her son son Nicholas for the day. Now, Betsy had a 13-year-old son herself, and we don't know his real name. He goes by Pete, which is a pseudonym. So Betsy's 13-year-old son, Pete, and Nicholas, they were actually friends. They would play with each other all the time, hang out. So because of this, Betsy was like, yeah, sure, I'll look after Nicholas. Like, it's fine. However, something that Betsy started to notice over the years as her son and Nicholas were friends, something that she noticed that was weird is that her son was never allowed over to Nicholas's house. Like, Nicholas was always over at her house, but her son was never allowed over at his house. But up until this day, she hadn't really questioned it too much. So anyway, Betsy agrees to look after Nicholas, and Erica and Kayla go off for the day. So Nicholas and Pete, they're outside, they're skateboarding, playing football, and Betsy decides to leave the two boys on their own for just a little while because she just needs to pop to the store. And this is where everything starts to get revealed. Because when Betsy was at the store, she receives a phone call from her son, and when she answers, her son Pete is absolutely frantic. He sounds really panicked, and he is just repeatedly shouting down the phone, "We can't get the babies to stop crying. We can't get the babies to stop crying. How do we get babies to stop crying?" And Betsy was just like, "Babies? What do you mean? What babies?" Betsy asks her son where the hell he is, because where are these babies? And this is when Pete reveals that he's at Nicholas's house and that there are babies in the house and they won't stop crying. And Betsy is really confused because she was like, "Babies? Erica doesn't have any babies. What is my son talking about?" But Betsy, she's so worried about her son, she rushes home. She pulls up onto the driveway of Erica's home. Her son and Nicholas are outside of the house and they are quite visibly distraught. So Betsy jumps out of the car and she rushes inside Erica's home. And what Betsy Brown was about to stumble upon would shock her to her core. Because first of all, as soon as Betsy opened the front door, she was immediately hit with the stench of feces. That's right, an overwhelming stench of feces, like just pure feces. So she entered the home, and when she looked around, there was just trash everywhere. And I don't mean like just a little bit of rubbish in the corner or like a few dirty dishes in the kitchen or like just a little bit of a mess. I don't mean that. Trash is literally everywhere, covering the whole floor. It is like someone has gone to the landfill, taken a bunch of rubbish and emptied it into Erica's home. There is more trash in Erica's home than I think I've ever seen in a home before. I have never seen anything like it. There was rotten food everywhere. There was maggots everywhere. There were so many bugs and flies everywhere. The food, oh God, can you imagine the smell? There was feces everywhere as well. And Betsy was dry heaving. To be honest, I am surprised that she didn't just throw up right there and then. And this house is shocking on its own. The condition of this house is just truly unbelievable. But then you have to remember that there are children living in this house. This is supposed to be a family home. So Betsy made her way up the stairs. And as she did so, she could hear babies crying, which is exactly what her son had told her. And Betsy could hear babies crying from two separate rooms upstairs. So Betsy made her way to the first room. And when she opened that door, what she saw hit her like a ton of bricks. Because in this room, Betsy found a 5-month-old girl screaming at the top of her lungs. And she was just lying abandoned on a mattress. And this mattress was completely covered in urine and feces. The mattress was so filthy. I have never seen a mattress like it in my life. The mattress was so thick with excrement that it had actually collapsed and dipped in the middle from the weight. And this 5-month-old baby was just lying in the middle of this mattress. But it gets worse, because Betsy then made her way to the second room where she could hear a baby crying. And in this second room, she also found an abandoned child. The child in the second room was a 3-year-old girl. She was also abandoned on a mattress, which again was covered in urine and feces. The 3-year-old was covered in her own feces, and she was so filthy that the poor girl looked like she was, quote, dipped in her own feces. And this 3-year-old, she was so traumatized. She was rocking herself backwards and forwards uncontrollably on this mattress. And she was looking at Betsy with the most vacant blank stare. And have you ever heard of something this bad? Two babies. And I know the three-year-old is obviously not a baby, but she kind of is. And you will understand why I mean that in a minute. But two babies just completely abandoned, both of them covered in their own feces, lying on a mattress, screaming at the top of their lungs. They look so dirty, and they are living in this completely filthy, dirty, disgusting house. And the two rooms that the two babies were found in, there was also rubbish everywhere in those rooms. Those rooms also look like a landfill. I truly cannot believe that this is even real. And after this discovery, I don't even know what was going on in Betsy's mind at that moment. So Betsy rushes over to both children. She covers the children with her own clothing to comfort them a little bit. And then she places a call to 911.
Hi, I'm just going to see if I can have somebody come over to 23 St. Paul Street.
Okay, what's going on?
I got a phone call from my son. He came over to his friend's house, said the babies wouldn't stop crying, and his friend's mom is out of town. She left this morning.
Yeah.
There's no one else here, and they've been at my house all day, and I just figured out that there's babies inside this house. I'm here now. They're covered in urine and there's no electricity in the house. Sorry, I'm a little sick up.
And she doesn't touch the children because she doesn't know if they're hurt. So she doesn't want to make it worse. She doesn't know what to do. So she just tries to comfort the children by speaking to them both in each room until police arrive at the property. And the police arrive very quickly. And when the police arrive, this is when the true scale of the horrors at 23 St. Paul Street are revealed. The police immediately rush into the 5-month-old and the 3-year-old. They needed immediate medical attention and they are both rushed straight to the hospital. And the police continue to look through the property, and what they found, oh my God, again, I don't think anyone could prepare you for what they found. Again, the police had to fight back the urge to just vomit everywhere because the smell, the sight, everything was just so disgusting. And you guys are really not prepared for what is in this house. There are pictures of this house online. They are pretty readily available. You don't need to look very far to find the pictures of this house. So we know that there is trash everywhere, trash upon trash upon trash upon trash. There are milk containers everywhere, various food packaging. There's actual food just there rotting away. There was also disused electrical appliances, broken bikes, so much debris. Some of it I can't even make out what it is. It truly is a landfill. It looks like the whole town just dumps all of their rubbish in this house. It blows my mind how anyone could live in this house, let alone a family with children. And of course, there were the soiled mattresses, and it absolutely breaks my heart that these two babies were found on these mattresses. There were human feces smeared across all of the walls. There was also piles of soiled diapers that was a foot high. And then in one room, there was actually just a pile of feces. Whether this is human or animal, I don't know. There was also electrical wires just exposed in the rooms. Incredibly dangerous. There was also various other dangerous objects just lying around the house because there are 4 children in this house. We obviously have the 2 abandoned babies that have been found, but then there's also 2 other children that live in this house, the 13-year-old and the 10-year-old. How are they also surviving and coping in this house? There was also marijuana plants that Raymond was growing in the basement. The sink was full of dirty dishes. There were piles of unwashed, dirty clothes. There were maggots in every room, every nook and cranny. There were maggots. There were rodents. There were so many insects, flies. There was one room that the police couldn't even open because there was so much trash in it. How hard is it to just pick up rubbish, put it in the bin, and put it out to be collected? How hard is that? There is no excuse. Why would anyone want to live in this? Why would Erica and Raymond themselves want to live in a house like this? Even if they don't care about their children, because they quite clearly don't, why would they want to live in it themselves? And then tragically, in the room that the 5-month-old was found abandoned, the police found a dead dog just lying there. And this dead dog had been in the room for months, just there, right by the 5-month-old baby. And I will warn you, there is a picture of this dead dog that you can see online, but I just want to warn you that if you do go and look up this case, you you might find that photo. And I truly wish that I hadn't seen it because I cannot unsee that photo. Police also found a cat in the house, and I don't know how that cat was still alive. And then down in the basement, they found a crate with a dog inside. And this dog was a bloodhound. And thankfully, this dog was alive. However, it was barely clinging to life. This dog had also just been abandoned in this crate. The dog was malnourished. It was covered in scabs and scars. Chunks of fur were missing. The dog's eyes were sunken and completely covered in gunk. The dog had a ton of fleas. It was just so obvious that this dog was probably on death's door. And then at 4 p.m. that day, guess who returns home? Erica and her 13-year-old daughter, Kayla. Erica had left the house at 10 a.m. that morning. She had been gone for 8 hours. So she had intended to leave those two poor babies abandoned for 8 hours. And when Erica approaches the house, she doesn't really seem too shocked that there are police everywhere. She doesn't seem concerned, panicked, upset, nothing. Just indifferent. One of the officers approaches Erica and asks her where she has been and why she has abandoned two young infants in the house and why she thinks that that is acceptable. And Erica just said that she had, quote, things to do. At that moment, Child Protective Services arrived at the property and informed Erica that all four children were going to be taken off her. So that obviously was the two abandoned babies, but also the two older children, Kayla and Nicholas. And when Erica was told that all four of her children were being taken away, she didn't really seem to care. She had no emotion, no reaction, nothing. However, there was one thing that Erica cared about, and that was her cat. Yes, remember that there was a cat found inside the house? So Erica actually said, oh, please be careful. My cat is an indoor cat and I don't want her to get outside. And I'm like, are you being serious? Are you being serious? The only thing you care about is the cat. But the authorities told her that her animals were also going to get taken off her as well because she had been willfully neglecting them. And the dog, the bloodhound, and the cat were both taken to the vets and they were going to be put up for adoption. Thank God. So following this, police took Erica down to the police station for questioning. She wasn't being arrested at this point. They still had more investigation to do. But right now, they just wanted some answers, some explanation as to what is going on. So they sat Erica down and she was very calm, very cooperative, very unemotional during this interview. And they pretty much asked her what the bloody hell is going on. Erica started by confirming that the two infants that were found in the home were her children. She also confirmed that Raymond was the father of those two infants and also the two older children. Erica also told the police that Raymond didn't know that the two infants were his. And Raymond also didn't know that the two infants were living in the home. So Erica basically told the police about everything, about the fact that Raymond didn't want any more children, but she had fallen pregnant and she had kept these pregnancies a secret, given birth on her own and then raised and kept these babies secret in those rooms upstairs and Raymond didn't know anything. And the police were so shocked. They were like, what do you mean you have raised these babies in secret? And this is when Erica also confirmed that the 5-month-old and the 3-year-old had never left the house. They had never seen the outside. They had never even left those rooms upstairs. Correction, they had been confined to those mattresses in those rooms for their entire life. That 5-month-old baby had been on that mattress for her whole life. But then that 3-year-old girl had also been on that mattress for her entire life. Let that sink in. On a mattress for their entire lives. And the police asked Erica what the names were of these two babies. And this part really hit me. I don't know why. I really don't. But when I found out this next thing, it really hit me because Erica said that she had never even bothered to name the two infants. The 5-month-old baby and the 3-year-old girl, they didn't have names. Erica referred to them as it. How can you do that? She had completely dehumanized them. She had just left these two children abandoned in the room, and she couldn't even be bothered to give them a name. I don't know why that hit me so hard, but it just shows you that she just doesn't care. Throughout the whole interview, Erica just kept referring to the children, the two infants, as it. Following the interview, the police went to the hospital to inquire about the welfare of the two young children, and what they discovered is just, it's beyond belief. So these two children, they don't have names, obviously. And in official documents, they were given names, but these are just pseudonyms. These are not their real names. So the three-year-old is known as Lisa, and then the five-month-old is known as Gina. So these are the names that I'm going to be using going forward. So the police inquired about the welfare of Lisa and Gina, and they were told that they were both severely malnourished from both of them not being fed properly. Both were extremely sensitive to sunlight due to the fact that neither child had ever been outside. Both were absolutely filthy. They were both found in diapers. Lisa, the three-year-old, had not been potty trained. Both had nappy rash and blistering to the skin due to the fact that they had just been left on this mattress for their entire life. Both children also had flea bites all over them. There was also maggots all over their skin, in their hair. There was also maggots found in their ears. I just can't believe it. I can't believe I'm saying these words. These children have maggots all over them. They had to dig so many maggots out of their ears. It is the most awful thing you've ever heard. Neither Lisa or Gina knew how to hold their arms up to be picked up. Something so simple, something that probably a lot of us don't even think about, but a child raises their arms to be picked up, and it's just something that is so normal. But Lisa and Gina, they didn't know how to do that, which just shows that neither one of them were ever or rarely picked up. Neither one of them had ever been socialized with another human being apart from Erica. Both Lisa and Gina also seemed terrified of people in general, which is not surprising considering the fact that they had spent their whole lives on their own, isolated, completely just abandoned. The three-year-old is obviously a little bit more aware than the five-month-old, and she actually seemed extremely terrified of people. She would actually curl up into a ball when an adult would approach her. Now that tells you a lot, doesn't it? Gina, the five-month-old, the back of her head was completely flat due to the fact that she had spent her whole life on her back. Gina, the five-month-old, also didn't make any sounds, like nothing, no sounds coming out of her. Babies from day one, they make little noises. Well, Gina was making no noise. Her muscle tone was severely underdeveloped. She didn't move on the examination table. Can you imagine a baby not moving? She had quite clearly experienced extreme neglect. And then when it came to Lisa, the three-year-old, her condition was even worse because she had been suffering through this for 3 years. I mean, it is bad enough that the five-month-old had been suffering for 5 months, but a three-year-old. It is truly a miracle that Lisa was even alive. Lisa couldn't walk. She was 3 years old and she couldn't walk. She couldn't even crawl because she had just been on this mattress her whole life. The back of Lisa's head was also completely flat from spending her whole life on her back. Her muscle tone was so underdeveloped that it has been described as, quote, doughy. I can't even imagine that. Muscles feeling doughy. Her muscles were so underdeveloped because she hadn't used them. She couldn't sit up. She could barely hold her head up. Lisa couldn't do the most basic things. She couldn't eat off a spoon. She couldn't drink out of a cup. Her blood test showed that she was lacking severely in pretty much all nutrients. Like, I don't even know how she was alive. Her vitamin D levels were pretty much non-existent because she had never seen sunlight. Her hair was completely matted and unkept, and she had never been washed her entire life. Neither one, the three-year-old or the five-month-old, Lisa and Gina, neither one of them had ever been bathed in their life. Lisa also could not talk. The only sounds that she was capable of have been described as, quote, guttural sounds only. She also couldn't properly hear because her ears were so blocked with wax. Her physical, mental, and emotional development was severely lacking for her age, which is why I said that she basically is a baby. Even though she's 3 years old, she's basically a baby. The hospital also believed that she might be displaying signs of autism, and she just didn't respond to human contact the way a 3 year old would. She couldn't hold eye contact. She rocked herself to console herself, and when she was rocking herself, she was making these gurgling noises, and it was just so visible to doctors that Lisa was terrified the whole time. And I can't believe that these children were found in this condition. It truly is some of the worst child abuse and child neglect I have ever come across. So following their stay at hospital, it was determined that despite the awful conditions that both Lisa and Gina were in, neither one of them had any life-threatening conditions, which is truly just a miracle. And they were placed in foster care, and their rehabilitation into normal life now began. Meanwhile, the police are carrying out their investigation, and this is when they spoke to the rest of Erica's family. So they first spoke to the two older children, Kayla and Nicholas, who were currently 13 and 10 years old. And whilst both of them hadn't gone through the severe neglect and confinement of their two younger siblings, we have to remember that the two older children are also victims in today's case. They still were raised in that home in those conditions that were absolutely disgusting and dangerous. And when the police spoke to Kayla and Nicholas about the babies that they had found, they both said that they could sometimes hear the babies screaming at night, and that they could sometimes hear the three-year-old Lisa banging on the walls, but neither one of them had ever seen the babies in person. Kayla and Nicholas just kept repeating that their mom was babysitting those babies, and that the babies belonged to a woman called Michelle. And the police did a little bit more digging, and it turns out that Erica had made up a fake identity of a woman called Michelle, and these two babies belonged to this Michelle. And that was Erica's backstory as to why these two babies were in the house. And Erica had even gone as far as making a fake Facebook profile for this woman called Michelle Ridgway. And Erica was friends on Facebook with this Michelle Ridgway, and the profile picture of Michelle was just Erica in a wig and glasses. And I truly cannot believe that this whole story of Erica is just babysitting these two babies for this random woman. I can't believe that everyone bought this. I mean, I can understand why the children bought this story, but apparently Raymond also bought this story, because now the police needed to speak to Raymond, and he again reiterated the story of, well, these babies belong to this woman called Michelle. Like, they're not ours. Like, I don't know what's going on here. And it just baffles me how this grown ass adult doesn't know what is going on in their own home. But Raymond, as we know, is a controlling, abusive manipulator. And you're trying to tell me that he didn't know that there was two babies in his home? Are you really trying to convince me of that? Because you can't. Raymond knew about those babies. I don't care. You can't convince me of anything else. It's like Lisa, the three-year-old, had been living in that house for 3 years. I'm sorry, he knew. And when police asked Raymond if he was the father of these children, he flat out denied it, even though a DNA test proved that he was the father of the two children. And he really was just trying to convince the police of this whole, Erica is just babysitting, I don't know anything about these kids, blah, 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 blah. And Raymond also said that the majority of his time he spent in the basement, which is why he didn't really go upstairs. Like, he didn't really know what was going on. No, he was just downstairs abusing a dog in a crate, leaving it abandoned. Yeah, that is what he was doing. And when he has been questioned later on TV about all of this, all he could do was bawl his eyes out.
I was crushed. Did she do that?
And as the days passed, the story of this case broke in the media. And as you can imagine, you don't come across cases like this every day, do you? The level of child neglect and abuse is on another level.
We got answered questions as the horrific child neglect case in Blackstone unfolds. New focus on who knew what.
But Erica was still not arrested for anything. She had not been charged. So Erica and Raymond at this point were still just out there living their lives. And this story had broke on the news. And Erica didn't really seem to care. It had just been revealed to the world what she had done. Like, her babies have now been taken away from her. All of her children have been taken away from her. People in the neighborhood knew what Erica and Raymond had done, but she just didn't seem to care. Infuriatingly, Erica continued to post on Facebook. Yeah, she was still very active on social media. Just a couple of days after her children were taken off her, Erica posted on Facebook, "I'm so fancy," in reference to the Iggy Azalea song, Fancy. And this is also when some of her older Facebook posts started to resurface, and oh my God, this will make your blood boil. Oh my God, these posts are so hypocritical. Just 2 months before the discovery of the secret babies, Erica posted on Facebook, quote, "Some people should not be parents." Oh my God, is she talking about herself? Because I agree. I can't believe it. How does she have the audacity to post that? Like, she's just delusional. What the hell? In another post in response to a death of a 4-year-old boy, she wrote, quote, "So, so sad." In response to another death of a child, Erica posted, quote, "Donate to help this family. Such a tragedy. No parent should have to lose their child." And then in other posts, she basically talked about how amazing of a mom she was. Like I said, her two older children, Kayla and Nicholas, they were all over her Facebook. To the outside world, she was an amazing mom. And I just don't know how she could do that. How could she post about missing her children? She actually did post, "Really missing my children. I'm bored without them." How could she post things like that when she has two secret babies upstairs that she is just completely neglecting? So now we get to the 10th of September, 2014. This is 2 weeks after the initial discovery of the secret babies. Investigators are heading back to Erica's home. They are carrying out one more search of the home to try and find as much evidence as they can to build their case against Erica and Raymond. And now there is one more final shocking twist to this case, and I truly cannot believe what is about to come. So on the 10th of September, when investigators went back to the home, they actually had to wear hazmat suits because the conditions in the home were that dangerous. Like, literally, there was a concern for the health of investigators or anyone going into that house. And I'm going to say it again, children were living in that house, but investigators investigating this case can't enter the house unless they're wearing a hazmat suit. So the police were sifting through the piles of trash and feces, soiled diapers. Like, I cannot believe how many diapers there were. They were clearing out maggots and rodents, insects, and they eventually made it to the 13-year-old Kayla's bedroom. And her bedroom, it looked like a landfill. Like I said, just because they weren't as neglected as the two younger children, they still had to live in these conditions. They still had to grow up in this environment. And the police were sorting through Kayla's room, and they got to her closet, and they were about to come across something that they were not expecting. Because after they opened the closet door, they saw two stained cardboard boxes. And when they opened one of these cardboard boxes, inside they found skeletonized remains of a human baby. I can't believe it. They found a skeleton of a baby. And this baby had a full head of hair. The baby was also wearing a onesie and a diaper, but it was completely skeletonized. So then the police opened the second cardboard box. And sadly, as you might have already guessed, in the second box were also the remains of a human baby. Also dressed in a onesie, also had a diaper on, but was just a skeleton. Also in the closet, they found a skeleton of a dead dog. Yep, another dead dog. And then investigators made their way into the 10-year-old Nicholas's bedroom. Again, his bedroom. It also looked like a landfill. There was just rubbish everywhere. And they also went into Nicholas's closet, and inside was a backpack. And inside this backpack were the remains of a third human baby. However, this baby was different. It had its umbilical cord and placenta still attached, and it appeared in all likelihood that this baby was a stillborn. And investigators actually described this baby as looking like a jellyfish. Erica had given birth to three more babies in that home by herself in the bathroom. She had hidden those pregnancies as well. So in total, Erica had 7 children and she had hidden 5 of those pregnancies. The first of these children was determined to be a stillborn, and Erica had placed this baby in the backpack and shoved the backpack in the closet and didn't think about that baby again. However, the other 2 babies were born alive. And after running tests, even though it was pretty much impossible to determine how old these babies were due to the decayed state of the bodies, it is believed that the other 2 babies lived from anywhere between 1 week and 1 month before they died. However, because of the terrible conditions that they were kept in, both had died in some kind of way. It was also impossible to determine the cause of death because of how decayed their bodies were. And it's just unbelievable. This case just keeps getting worse. And this was another moment where my jaw hit the ground. I couldn't believe it. How has Erica apparently hidden 5 pregnancies? And what is just so sad is that one of the babies was born stillborn, so there was possibly nothing that could have been done to save that baby. However, the 2 other babies were born alive. And I think we all know if those other 2 babies were born in a hospital, they had medical attention, given their immunizations, had all of the proper tests and everything done to them, they most likely would have survived. And we don't know how they died. Was it some kind of disease or something that they picked up in that house? Were they even fed? Were there complications in the birth? We just don't know. However, what we do know is that due to Erica and her actions and her choices, those babies did not survive. And following this horrific discovery, both Erica and Raymond were finally arrested. Erica was charged with 2 counts of second degree murder for the 2 babies that were found to be born alive. She was also charged with 1 count of concealing a fetal death. She was also charged with 2 counts of assault, causing substantial injury to a child, 2 counts of reckless endangerment, and 2 counts of animal cruelty. When it came to Raymond, he was charged with 2 counts of assault and battery on a child, 2 counts of reckless endangerment of a child, 2 counts of animal cruelty, and 1 count of cultivating marijuana. So Raymond was not charged with second degree murder. Nothing to do with the deaths of the children. Raymond was not charged with anything, which I think is ridiculous, because I'm sorry, no one in their right mind believes that Raymond didn't know about these children. I'm sorry, no. Following this, both Erica and Raymond were held in jail awaiting trial, and unbelievably, it took 5 years for the trial to go ahead. So eventually, in June of 2019, the trial started. At Erica's trial, her defense tried to put forward a few mitigating factors. One being Erica's mental health, saying that she had been abused, manipulated, and controlled by Raymond for years, that she was incredibly vulnerable, which is all true, but that's not an excuse. They also tried to blame her decision-making on her very low IQ. They said that her decision-making, her ability to think through situations, and just the way that she processed information was incredibly compromised. She also had a limited way of functioning in the world. But again, that just doesn't make sense, because even though she neglected her 2 older children, she still looked after them way better than she did the rest of them. Erica was also suffering from major depression, and she was diagnosed with avoidant personality disorder, which basically meant that she was unable to find solutions to her problems, and she just avoids everything, which is how she dealt with her pregnancies. She just avoided the fact that she was pregnant. She didn't want to acknowledge that she was pregnant. And then when she gave birth, she didn't want to acknowledge that she had children, which is why she neglected them, which is why she just put them in those rooms and pretty much ignored them. However, the prosecution said, no, we're not having this. No, she may have these mental health conditions. However, that is no excuse. And also, Erica had the mental capacity to make up a fake identity of that woman, Michelle. And it's like, if she had the mental capacity to make up this fake backstory of this woman, Michelle, and it was her children that she was looking after, that sounds like she's competent to me. The defense also argued that because no cause of death could be determined for the two babies that were found to be born alive, because they couldn't determine a cause of death, how could you say definitively that Erica was responsible? And unbelievably, at the end of the trial, the defense got what they wanted. And Erica Murray was found not guilty on the two counts of second degree murder. However, she was found guilty on all of the other charges, which was assault and battery of a child, reckless endangerment of a child, concealment of a fetal death, and animal cruelty. When it was Raymond's trial, he was also found guilty on all of his charges as well, which again was assault and battery of a child, reckless endangerment of a child, animal cruelty, and then cultivating marijuana. And are any of you angry right now? Because I am. But you're about to get a lot angrier because now we get to the sentencing. Raymond was sentenced to only 4.5 years with credit for time served, and he had already served 5 years in jail, which basically meant that Raymond was released straight away. And then for Erica Murray, for her part in some of the most horrific child neglect I have ever come across, she was sentenced to 6 to 8 years in prison, again with credit served already in jail, which meant that following the trial, Erica would only need to serve between 1 and 3 years in prison, which given that the trial was in 2019, which was 4 years ago, Erica Murray has now been released from prison. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, are you all angrier now? Because I am. What the actual hell? How are these two people walking the streets? I am sorry, even though she was found not guilty of second degree murder, she was still found guilty of child assault, battery, concealing a fetal death, animal cruelty, reckless endangerment of a child. She was still found guilty of so many offenses. I am sorry. Why did she not get at least 10, 15 years? 20 years. I'm sorry. What the bloody hell? And Raymond as well. Why was he not sentenced to more years? I am sorry. No one in their goddamn mind should believe that Raymond didn't know about those babies. There is a chance, a small chance, that he didn't know about all of the pregnancies and he didn't know about the babies that were found in the cardboard boxes and the backpack. There is a chance that Raymond didn't know about those. However, he still knew about the two babies upstairs. He did. I'm sorry, he did. I don't buy this story that he thought that they belonged to this woman, Michelle. And regardless, if Raymond truly did believe that these two babies belonged to this Michelle, he was still complicit in their neglect. He still knew about them, even if he didn't know that they were his. I'm sorry. I'm so angry right now. And apparently the judge in both the Erica and the Raymond trial is notoriously known for being very lenient. Mm-hmm. Her name is Judge Walker and her nickname is Judge Let 'em Walk Walker. And in the aftermath of this case, the home, the House of Horrors, was demolished because it was deemed to be too much of a health risk for anyone to live in that house. That is how bad the conditions were in that home. But we now need to talk about the victims of today's case, and that is the children, all of the children. So first of all, Kayla and Nicholas. Whilst they were not locked in their rooms like Lisa and Gina were, they still had to live in squalid conditions. And they probably also suffered neglect on a daily basis. But thankfully, Kayla and Nicholas were both sent to live with a grandparent in a big, beautiful house on a cul-de-sac. And the house was actually a clean house, you know, a normal house. And they were able to live a somewhat normal life, even though I'm sure they have trauma from their upbringing. They are now in a safe and clean environment with loving parental figures. And then when it comes to Lisa and Gina, I have no words. They had the worst start in life. I truly cannot believe that both of them survived for as long as they did, especially Lisa. She was 3 years old. How did she survive 3 years in those conditions? Neither one of them ever saw sunlight. They were barely fed. They didn't even have names. It's just absolutely disgusting. And I can tell you now, there is a special place waiting for Erica and Raymond for doing what they have done. I don't know how they can live with themselves. I truly don't. And for obvious reasons, reasons, we don't know too much information about Lisa and Gina, but what I do know is that after they left hospital, they entered foster care and both of their conditions improved dramatically. Lisa, who was 3 years old, she couldn't walk and she couldn't crawl. But after 2 weeks in foster care, she had learned to walk. And I think that that is just an example of how amazing the human body and spirit truly is. And 1 year later, Lisa visited the healthcare worker that initially treated her, and Lisa ran up to this healthcare worker with the biggest smile on her face. And I think that just shows how much and how dramatically Lisa has improved, that she is happy, that she is smiling, that she is running up to an adult. The difference is truly heartwarming. And then when it comes to Gina, who was 5 months old, I actually don't know much information about Gina whatsoever, but given how much Lisa has improved, I am sure Gina has also made dramatic improvements as well. And I'm just so thankful that both of them were rescued from that home and they now have the chance to live a normal life, even though I am sure they are going to have so much trauma that they are going to need to work through because their development has been stunted, their emotional, physical development, it's going to affect them. And I just truly hope that they can develop and get the help that they need. And I truly, from the bottom of my heart, hope that they go on to live fulfilled, happy and healthy lives. And then when it comes to the other babies that were found, we know that at least two of them were born alive. So if it wasn't for Erica and Raymond, those two babies could still be here to this very day. And it is so sad that they never even got a chance to live their lives. And that brings us to the end of this incredibly heartbreaking case that I just truly cannot get over. Like, I still cannot get over that this happened. And that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening today. Subscribe or follow to make sure you never miss an episode of The Criminal Makeup. And if you enjoy the show, it would really mean a lot if you could leave a 5-star review because it really does help out the podcast. In the meantime, if you've been affected by any of the themes in this episode, please take the time to look at the description for this episode for some helpful resources. Special thanks to my producers at Audio Boom Studios, and I'll see you all in the next one.